Eddie DeBartolo has joined us on Sports Byline USA, the former owner of the San Francisco 49ers. They went to the Super Bowl five times under his ownership. They are 5-0. They have not been back to the Super Bowl until this weekend. Some 18 years ago was the last time when they beat San Diego when they played in the Super Bowl in South Florida. We talked about the players and the love that they had for you and the way you approached them. There's another aspect of your ownership that I always found fascinating, and I've not seen it replicated, Eddie, at any time in sports. And that is that when you walked in, when you were the owner of the 49ers, into the stadium, and even to this day, the fans start chanting, Eddie, Eddie, Eddie. That's not usually the case. Tell me a little bit about how you viewed the fans when you took over the team and how you were able to maintain that relationship of love and respect for each other.
Well, you know, it was a different time. And, I started off, and it certainly was sort of a difficult couple of years. I made my mistakes in coaching. I made my mistakes with general manager. The fans were not happy. We did not have, good seasons. But I think in time, I just tried to relate better to the fans. I tried to become more of a fan's owner. And as we won and as the team got successful, I became closer and closer to all the fans, and I think San Francisco's got the best fans in the world. I mean, come on, you have a World Series this year, and I'm quite positive you're going to have the sixth Super Bowl this year. That's an amazing feat, and the fans of that city and the Bay Area are. First of all, they're lucky. They're lucky that they have the teams that they have. But you know what? They're just great. They're great fans, and I still hear from them. I must get a thousand letters a year from fans, just asking how I am, writing about their family, asking for a picture. I truly believe after this period of time that that's sort of unheard of.
Yeah, it really, really is. Let me backtrack to Jed for just a second, because his early years were difficult heading up the organization after the transfer of ownership and everything. And I'm just wondering, as he turned to you, because he's been very candid, he's talked to me and said how much, you were there for him. What type of counsel did you give him during the struggling years? Because you had gone through the same thing in your early years.
Well, I think the thing that I said, as he was coming into his own, his father had a tough time, and he really didn't belong in the position that he was in. You have to have the right personality. You have to have the right demeanor. I told Jed, I said, seriously, and this was even when he was going through his coaches, but before he was able to obviously strike gold, hopefully, with Jim Harbaugh, I said, you must go out and get the best people that you can find. Then, when you do, you have to step back, give them the autonomy to do their job. Don't interfere. Just step in when you're needed and when they need your help, or they need your guidance, or they just need you to be present. And we talked about that. We've talked about that in a number of ways and a number of times. And he's learned that, and he's done that. And I truly believe that's part of the success as to why the team is where they are right now.
I told him one time, you got to kiss a lot of frogs before you get a prince when it comes to your coaches.
Yes, you do. You sure do.
Let me ask you about the pressures that you felt being in your early 30s and the responsibility of having a National Football League team, spending millions of dollars to buy that team, and the pressures that a young Jed York felt as well. What did you sense about him, about how he dealt with that pressure?
I think that I think that he dealt, really considering his age and maturity level, I think he handled it really well. I think that He knew that it was a matter of time. He knew that that they had some players on that team to build on, and you know, he had some really quality players, mostly actually defensive players, but that's a good place to start. And I think that he just knew the best thing for him to do is just take it one step at a time. You know, that's how you eat the elephant. You don't go in there and try and swallow it. And I think that he did the right thing. And you know, obviously he's getting paid back for the way he handled the job.
In the time that we have remaining, I'd like to go back and get your favorite memories about the five Super Bowls that you won. The first one, of course, not a lot of people expected that the 49ers in the 1981 season would be finding themselves in Detroit for Super Bowl 16 there. You go up against the Cincinnati Bengals, and Bill Walsh, of course, put on the Bellman's uniform to try to make it a little bit easier for his team since this was their first trip to the Super Bowl and everything. What's your favorite memory from Super Bowl 16?
Jeez. Probably just being there. But I, you know, I was there the night that I did not know what Bill was going to do. I really didn't. You know, I was out there. I was outside, and God, it was bitterly cold, if you remember.
Yeah, I do.
In Southfield. We were at the Southfield Hilton. And Bill came out and started grabbing people's suitcases, and they were actually getting mad at him. They didn't know who it was. I remember, I don't know if it was Lawrence Pillars or Mr. Personality, Hacksaw Reynolds, you know, just grabbing the bag back from Bill and saying, you know, leave me, what are you trying to do? And I guess once everybody found out that it was Bill, he kind of broke the ice. And, you know, it was just business as usual. And I think that's what the 49ers are doing, from what I gather. And I've talked to, you know, a lot of people today, and I know it was media day. They're not doing anything really different. You know, they're a very united team. They have a common goal, and they know that they have a job to do. And I'm sure they're going to get the job done. They're playing a good team, but they could be playing New England or Denver, and I think, you know, obviously this is probably the best matchup for people, because they're both physical teams.
Super Bowl 16, you win it over Cincinnati 26-21. MVP Joe Montana. 3 years later, you're playing Miami, which was. A lot of people thought Miami with their killer bees was going to beat San Francisco, even though that game was played at Stanford, and it was no contest. Joe Montana, again the MVP. You win it 38-16. Was that the best team that you ever had? Because if my memory serves me correctly, you only lost one game that season, and I believe it was to Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We lost by a field goal to Pittsburgh that year. You know, it's hard. All I know about that team, Ron, is that, and I'm not trying to be funny, I think that team was so good. And I know, you know, Dan Marino had, Clayton, and you know, he had a phenomenal offense. But I think that team that we fielded that year was, I think our second team could have won that game. You know, we had three Pro Bowl nose tackles on that team. And, you know, it was a really, really, really good football team. But then, you know, you move on and to the other games and to the other teams, and they each had their own identity, and they were some awful good players.
Yeah, and then Super Bowl 23, the first of two, meaning back-to-back Super Bowls that you won. This one was a 2016 win, again over Cincinnati, and Jerry Rice is the MVP. And probably what was most notable about that, aside from the victory, was it turned out to be Bill Walsh's last Super Bowl. Did you have any inkling that that was going to be his swan song?
You know, Ron, yeah, I did. And I know you were friendly with Bill, but I'll tell you what happened. In my opinion, that was the best coaching job by any coach that I could ever remember, and I'll tell you why. We had a really good team. We had a lot of really great players on that team, but we struggled. For some reason, that team did not have its identity early. I remember back-to-back losses to the Cardinals and then the Raiders. And Bill had a tough time. I flew back with the team, and I really never did that. And I sat with Bill after the Phoenix loss in his office, and he was having a tough time. He got everything together. He got himself composed. He got himself where he wanted to be, and he brought that team together, and he gave them an identity. That team really and truly was on its way to not only not winning the Super Bowl, but maybe having a losing season. And I think that he just did a yeoman's phenomenal job, a Hall of Fame job that year. And obviously, after the game, he retired.
Then next year, after he retires, George Seifert takes over the team, and in Super Bowl number 24, they destroy Denver 55-10. Joe Montana, once again, the MVP. And by the way, in Super Bowl 23, Jerry Rice was the MVP. Let me fast forward to Super Bowl 29, which was your last Super Bowl victory. San Francisco against San Diego. You win it 49-26, not much of a game. But the gorilla got off the back of Steve Young as to being able to win the Super Bowl and the big game as well. Tell me about your thoughts as you not only look at that game, but the five Super Bowls that you have won. What does it mean to Eddie DeBartolo?
Well, first of all, for that game, for Steve Young, that was just a tribute to a man that spent his entire life questing for something. A great football player. Steve Young could probably have played many more positions than quarterback. I've been told that he could have been a defensive back. He could have been a running back. It was a really interesting year. We brought in quite a few free agents, and obviously that helped the team immensely. We had a great year. Looking back at the five Super Bowls, I just look back and I'm just a thankful person. I'm thankful for the people that I was associated with, whether it be the media, whether it be the fans, our front office people, obviously the players and coaches. I just consider myself a very, very lucky man. And people have an opportunity, to get in games like are being played on Sunday, not very often. And we were lucky enough to get there five times, and win five times. And you just thank God for your success, and just go on with your life.
We have 45 seconds left, and I always like to ask people if they're. And I know this is a tough question, Eddie, but is there one particular moment in your ownership career that is kind of ingrained in your mind that you always smile about or think about?
I think maybe being with the fans out on the field, and I think maybe in 1994 after our victory, thinking about my dad because he was sick before that game, and he was marking off the victories and the losses, and I kind of almost assured him that we were gonna win the Super Bowl. Don't ask me why, because I really don't do things like that. But that was an emotional game for me.
Eddie, I want to thank you very much, because our friendship is a very, very long one and one I cherish very much. You've been very kind to me over the years, and I just want to say congratulations on the wonderful success you've had with the 49ers, but not so much just for the numbers that were on the scoreboard, but the way you conducted yourself as an owner, the way you treated the fans, the way you treated your players. It's an ownership that is, I can't remember any other like it. So thank you very much for joining us and talking about it.
Ronnie, what can I say to you? We go back decades as very, very dear friends, and I thank you for all your help and for all your guidance, and I wish you Godspeed and great health to you and your family always.
Eddie DeBartolo, former owner of the 49ers, we continue on Sports Byline.